Well, first of all, on behalf of Robert, Katie, Patty, Steve, he's unfortunately fishing right now, but and myself, Nick, we're all the owners here at Alley Brewing Company. We want to welcome everybody for coming. This is a huge event for us. Thank you. We're very, very honored to have you guys all here for this historic event. We want to thank Representative Stevenson for authoring, getting this thing kind of kicked off. The Minnesota... The Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild, this is, thank you. This is all, this is a huge step for all of us, the little guys. I know this is, I mean, we just literally bought a canning line last month. So this is huge for us. We're excited to see where this goes. It's a great step forward. And then I'm gonna hand it off to Governor Walz here.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks to Nick and Rob and the folks here at Alloy for hosting us and all of the brewers that are here. And for the press, we'll take some questions at the end. I just want to note, Lieutenant Governor and I this morning we're talking. This is a really important piece of legislation. I'm going to say more about that. But I think, like all Americans, trying to balance kind of the horror we saw in Texas yesterday against a celebratory environment, it's a little challenging. But that's what we have to do in the state that we're in, and I think those are a discussion that has to happen about that. But I just want to acknowledge in this moment the incredible bipartisan work that was done here. These are talented legislators. As you all know, we didn't get everything done yet. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. But much did get done this session, and in a divided legislature in a tough environment, to have the skill to move a piece of legislation that many in this room have wanted for quite some time is really, really impressive. And I think especially to our entrepreneurs who are out here, who we were saying it was innovate during a time of COVID or face the bad consequences that came with that. And this industry, from hospitality, restaurants, our breweries, were so innovative and so creative to not only keep their employees safe and their customers safe, they found new ways of delivery. But I think it highlighted this point, we can't be an impediment to ways that you can provide more revenue. And this piece of legislation lets you compete on that level. It was smart and well thought out. It starts to give more opportunities. And I think these folks here, as I'd say again, this is tough to navigate these things. As I'm not telling anybody in this room anything, Minnesota's liquor laws are interesting in many cases. And to be able to balance all of the competing interests, all with the idea of doing it safely, properly, and giving entrepreneurs a chance to grow is really gratifying. So I'm just really excited to be here. This was a great piece of legislation that I'm gonna officially sign into law here. Makes a big impact. There's a lot of folks you're gonna hear from and a lot of folks that should be thanked. But the industry itself and the hard work they did and the people they employ, we're just really grateful to have this here. This has been, over the last 20 years, it's been a wonderful thing to see this industry grow, create. It's become a real part of the culture of what Minnesota has to offer. And I was looking to see that the Memorial Day weekend is going to be 90 degrees, as it should be. And a lot of folks will be able to buy, and hopefully they can buy and take them with them. So I have a partner on my side. I oftentimes talk about my lead counsel and partner in doing this. Lieutenant Governor Flanagan has a very broad portfolio. In that portfolio, she is our chief expert on beer, so I will turn it to her. So I'm turning it to you.
That will be my favorite introduction in 2022. So I'm just really happy to be here to celebrate something that I know that people worked so hard to get done. You know, when I was in the legislature and we were able to vote on Sunday sales, that felt like some real movement. And boy, did I hear about how people felt about that legislation. You should also know that as I have been out and about at local breweries and distilleries, I hear directly from people about what they think that we should do at the Capitol on this issue. And then when I go home, I get lobbied by my husband about this issue. So to the legislature, thank you making this easier to go home. I appreciate that. But really what this is about, there have been just so many breweries and distilleries that have popped up all over Minnesota, finding the best and the brightest creative entrepreneurs, people who are following a dream. And I just, that is what all of this is about, to make it easier, to make it more accessible, to make sure that folks can grow their businesses and really highlight, I think, the best of Minnesota. So I just wanted to say again, thank you. I am excited, Alloy Brewing Company, to sample some of your product today. But just really want to encourage Minnesotans to take advantage of this new opportunity to support these local breweries and distilleries who are part of the fabric of Minnesota. And to all of our lawmakers, to all of our lobbyists who got this done, to all of our consumers, cheers. And with that, I'd like to introduce Commissioner Steve Grove.
Thanks, Lieutenant Governor, Governor Rob, Kevin. We're excited to be here today. This is really big for Minnesota's economy. It's big for small businesses, which employs over half our state. The brewing industry in Minnesota is a growing economy. As you know, 226 breweries across our state. And there are 34 distilleries in our state. 10 years ago, there was one distillery in our state. So these businesses have grown really fast. And as my friend and colleague, Laura Bennett McGinty, who used to run the Craft Brewers and now runs Explore Minnesota Tourism. We're all clapping because she's fought for this for a long time too, so this victory is hers as well. She reminds me often that craft brewers in our state really punch above their weight. We have the 12th highest number of breweries in the entire country. We produce about 625,000 gallons, I think, of beer a year. That's 4.6 gallons per adult. Hopefully not drunk all at once, but that's a lot of beer. And it's an industry that really does punch above its weight. Why would you hold an industry like that back, right? We want to let that industry go forward. We want it to grow. We want it to be in the top 10. And I think with these laws, we could get there. I think it's also just inherent, we all know it because we're standing in one, that the breweries are also part of our culture, right? They draw talent in, they draw people in. They're reasons that you go to Little Falls or Brainerd or Stillwater or any other town of the 226 breweries we have in our state. They bring people together and create new opportunities for tourism, for growth, for community and connection. So this isn't just about our economy and growth, although that's great. It's about breweries and what they mean to our culture. And I would highlight that breweries were very helpful throughout the pandemic. We saw breweries come together and distilleries as well and figure out how to make hand sanitizer for people. They participated in the free beer for a vaccine card initiative, which was super helpful for us throughout the pandemic. So there are these civic institutions that I think are great for our state and for our economy. And talking to some of the folks here at Alloy when we got here first, they're great places to work as well. The retention for employees that work here is really high because it's a great place to work and they treat people well. So we're excited for this and for our economy. And we're very grateful to Representative Stevenson who really spearheaded so much of this. So I'll turn it over to him.
Well, thank you all for being here. Welcome to my hometown of Coon Rapids and to my home brewery of Alloy. This is my second home in the summer. We like to sit out here on the patio, enjoy nice warm summer evenings. We're within stumbling distance from my house, so it's nice and safe here. And Lieutenant Governor, I recommend the cream ale. I think it's that's my favorite here. And thank you, Governor, for being here. And thank you also for your acknowledging that this is, for a lot of parents like myself, I've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. This is a tough day. We're having hard conversations. And it's worth noting that even on a day when we're happy that we got this done. But, you know, it's been a long, long wait. But for craft breweries and craft distilleries all across the state, happy hour has finally arrived. As Commissioner said, we have over 200 breweries and over around 40 distilleries across the state that are just beloved by the people who are in those communities. And it's great that we're giving them the opportunity to grow and thrive and innovate and unshackling them from laws that were made at a time when this didn't exist. It's not that they didn't have a good purpose or a good intent, but this didn't exist then. And we should acknowledge that and move forward. And so we have, we freed the growler. We've given each brewery the opportunity to sell 6-packs and 4-packs. We're giving distilleries the opportunity to sell 750 milliliter bottles. And we're doing a lot of other innovative things, including just up the road in Anoka, where we're going to have the state's first social district, where you'll be able to buy a drink at one establishment and walk outside on a nice summer day, or maybe on a cold winter day where they have bonfires out in the street, to another establishment. That's the kind of thing that Minnesotans like to do. We like to gather together and enjoy community. Breweries, distilleries are a key piece of that. And I'm just so excited we were able to get it done in a bipartisan fashion. I want to thank all of the Democrats and Republicans, many of whom are here today, who work together to make this a reality. Liquor doesn't know partisanship. And I hope that we can set an example or start on a roll of getting other issues done too in that bipartisan, collaborative, cooperative way. So thank you all for being here. I honestly don't know if I'm supposed to turn it over to someone else at this point. We'll go sign the bill.
We'll sign the bill. We'll come back and take some on topic, and then if there's any off topic from the press for Lieutenant Governor myself, we'll be glad to take them. So let's go sign it. What a fun place to run a bar.
Well, that's
fun. You got to stand behind the bar, guys.
All right, here we go.
Oh, good.
This is definitely first business. Signing a law.
We've got some folks who have to get it. All right. Here we go.
Has this ever happened before? Okay.
There we go. A lot of things have probably happened at this bar, but not this. So, not this. Yeah. First one. I'm not opposed to doing it more often if that works out. So.
Zach, when you guys are ready, we'll do some on topic, and then we'll switch if anybody wants any off topic. But again, thanks to Alloy, thanks to all the breweries, thanks to the entrepreneurs who are here, and again, a bipartisan group of talented legislators who were able to move a piece of legislation, as you heard Commissioner Grove say, absolutely critical for continuing to grow this industry that's so important to Minnesota. So we'll be glad to answer questions, and we've got the expert and the author here.
We can do on or off.
What's the status, off topic if that's okay,
sure.
What's the status of a potential special session of negotiations? How did you leave things? Are you really taking a break?
Yeah, Monday early afternoon when we met with Speaker Hortman and Leader Miller, it was the consensus that they felt like, especially Senate Republicans, felt like they need a little time, go home, decompress on this, try and come back. I still believe, and I think a lot of the members, I hope, believe is, we were very close on a lot of issues. I think there is reasons to be optimistic. I just am convinced that at a time of surplus and a time when we're seeing some rising costs, where Minnesotans could use money back in their pockets, we agreed on an overall universal framework of returning $4 billion. We had $4 billion on investments in public safety and in education and long-term care and in child care. And then we did a conservative, which I think smart move is leaving $4 billion on the bottom line till next legislative session to see what happens with the economy over the coming months. So I think the optimism is still there. We've got a bonding bill that I think has broad support. It's just kind of moving all the pieces of the Rubik Cube to line up. I kind of feel like we're a couple moves away. We'll let them see. We're going to have an agreement. It certainly isn't just what we think. We'll see if the House and Senate would like to come back, try and get an agreement. We might have to shrink it down a bit, but I think there's some of those basic principles. Be no reason we shouldn't do it. So I remain optimistic. I think the point we got to was that it was agreed probably wait through this week, get through the Memorial Day weekend, let folks go home, be with their families, and then try and pick this up. And it would be my intention that if we could, we try and do it as quickly as possible.
Does the fact that it's an election year make it more or less likely in your view?
Well, we in 2020 in October passed the largest bonding bill in state history. I don't think legislators were afraid of that. There's certainly a lot of politics that goes into any time you're doing tax cuts, spending, whatever it may be. I think that would be my hope. The vast majority of folks know that this is first and foremost our job to serve Minnesotans. And I think it just seems a little bit kind of unacceptable to Minnesotans in general that we would leave $12 billion on the bottom line when we could reduce costs, invest in the future, and get this thing done. So one of my big concerns is especially in transportation, if we don't get something done, we are out of the competitive process with other states to bid on projects on roads and bridges and other things. And that is federal money that we already paid, and we paid more into the federal government than all but four other states in terms of what we get back. And we need to provide the matching funds so that we can be competitive on those grants. And I think it would be a shame to leave that on the table, because again, that's not about spending. That would be about saving us money to get that done. So I'm really hopeful.
Governor, yeah. Yesterday was a terrible day for the country. How's it affecting you? I mean, what should the Minnesotans be looking for?
And I appreciate you asking the question. Lieutenant Governor and I are really torn, and you know, millions of Americans are trying to balance this about going to work and doing their job, but I was just a mixed grief about this, and then survivor's guilt. I went in, my 15-year-old, yeah, he's a freshman, he wouldn't like me to talk about this, but he's my baby, and I go in there, I see him sleeping before I wake him up to go to school, and I can't help but think about, what are those empty beds look like? And this does not happen in all countries. This does not happen, and I'm not interested in putting blame. I'm interested in finding a solution. And if this is a tweet with thoughts and prayers, we have failed so horribly that you know, I heard people say that once we let Sandy Hook happen, that we gave up the fight on this. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And I think both of us, Lieutenant Governor and I, talked long into the night last night on this and watched this unfold. I was with about 200 sixth graders at the Capitol today, and they asked. They asked about it, and they went to school today. And I mean, my generation, those of you my age, we didn't have active shooter drills. We didn't have all this. I just don't think that we can accept that our kids have to live with this. And I'm committed to working with anybody who really wants to find a working solution, that this has got to quit. And I spent my life around firearms. I own them. I've shot these very weapons in the military. I hear people talk about hardening our schools and stuff. I'm a teacher too. Hardening the perimeter is a military term. Teaching children and having a joyful experience is a school term. So I'm really torn on this point right now, and I got to be honest with you, all those emotions I'm feeling again, from survivor's guilt to anger, is boiling up. That I'm just afraid this moment passes again, and then we all just wait till we know that sick feeling comes back again. And I'm sick of the sick feeling, and I just refuse to allow people to believe it has to be this way. Lieutenant Governor, you sent a little one off too.
So I have a 9-year-old, I have a third grader, and yesterday I had the honor of chaperoning my daughter's class to the zoo yesterday for a field trip. And there are 21 kids in her class. So far there have been 21 people, 19 children, who were violently killed yesterday. I think about the way my baby's hand feels when she'll still hold my hand even at 9. I think about the way that her hair smells when I tuck her in at night. And so when we are now in a place in the country where guns, death by guns, is the number one reason why our children die, not cancer, not automobile accidents, guns. Anybody who is standing in the way of getting real legislation done should be ashamed of themselves. So I am a mama bear in this moment. I will bring this mama bear energy all across the state to make sure that none of our little ones are put at risk. It is appalling. And it is the first thing that I thought of when I woke up this morning. And I know that all of us want our children to be safe. That is a value that we all share. And the good news is there is something we can do about it. So we're going to work hard to get that done. And I would suggest that Minnesotans vote for people who are going to take action on gun violence, because that is what we can do.
Any other question?
One more, if there is one.
Great. Good.
Good.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.